Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
An innuendo to start the day. You got to love it. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Tuesday to you. John Lopez, Reginald Attitude, the Figgy Fig with you. And you, obviously. 713-572-4610 is how you get involved, as well as the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610 and 610 Houston. How you living, brother?
I am living great, and there's a little bit of tidbit of news breaking before we get into the segment. No, not important. But I do want.
Do I need to hit the sounder?
No.
Are you sure?
No. You know what I'm talking about, right, Figgy? I just want Sean Pendergast's reaction, gut reaction. New York Times reporting that Jordan Hudson has told at least one friend that she and Bill Belichick are engaged.
Hey,
really?
Oh,
engaged.
I have this chart that Seth and I didn't get to on the show today. top keywords and phrases for Jordan Hudson as culled together on social media.
Yeah,
figure this is an evergreen topic. You can use it anytime.
Certainly.
Marriage is not on here though.
This is the New York Times saying that.
Weird is number one. Mm-hmm. Controversy number two. Drama number three. My personal favorites are closer to the bottom on this thing. Disgusting.
Oh.
Victim, fake, exploit.
Wow.
There you
okay.
go.
Engaged.
Engaged.
Engaged is now a new one that you add to the list there. All right, very good.
Terrified are his kids right now that they're not going to get their inheritance.
Gosh.
I mean, I do wonder, knowing Bill Belichick himself, though, do you think those folks were all that open to the idea that they were actually going to get an inheritance anyways? You know what I mean?
Fair this point.
Is true.
That's
this
a good true. Point.
I don't know. Maybe.
Anyway, I thought that would be interesting.
Thank you for sharing. All right, let's get going. I don't know how to segue. I was going to find a segue. I don't have one. Shout out to the Astros.
How about the perfect marriage? You know, Jake Meyers and the Astros.
4-3 victory at Steinbrenner Field there in Tampa. I probably should say George in there, but, you know, whatever. 4-3. Jake Meyers doing a little bit of damage there, which was awesome. Seeing him go yard on a nice 2-for-3 day, two runs as well. Like, the bottom of the lineup, bottom of the order doing some work. I mean, getting hits from your last four hitters. Obviously, also, you include Isak Paredes and Jeremy Peña on the top of that.
Yeah.
And you get offense. You get offense necessary to get a win in this one. Unfortunately, it's not for Colton Gordon, but it's Brian King who came in, handled up well. But Colton Gordon, we were talking about him as well, texting back and forth. And this might just be what he is. Goes 5 1/3, three earned runs, 7 strikeouts, though. He gets a little bit more of what he wants. But you get another victory, and in a way, you have another guy showing up and saving the Astros bacon. And thus, we come to the conversation to start today's show. Who or what has saved the Astros bacon this year?
Who saved their bacon this year?
713-572-4610. Because it feels like this is a team that, not it feels like, this is a team that's a few games over 500 at this point. And sometimes you're watching this and it doesn't feel like it, but they just timely situations, you know, certain guys standing up in the instances that you need them. 3 games over 500 to be specific.
Yeah.
And so kind of want to take an opportunity to salute those folks and those things that are getting the Astros to that place.
Yeah, and I think you touched on the main thing, because that's what I was thinking. I literally said that, which is an old expression, but I use it. Boy, he really saved their bacon with that.
Right,
you know,
of course.
And it got me thinking about this. Bottom of the order, you mentioned it. The bottom of the order, maybe bottom whatever, 40% of the order. has been really, because you got to throw this number 6 guy in there by and large, but he's been clutch. He is, I think, by every metric and every opinion,
Jake. Well, I'm guessing you mean,
yeah,
right?
Jake Meyers.
Which is funny, because I say Jake, and this is very odd. I just happened to get, like, thrown at me by the algorithm a Jake Marisnick highlight tape.
Well, okay,
and I was like, hey, Jake Meyers doing his best Jake Marisnick right now, ain't he?
He is. I mean, he is, by whether you're looking at the data and the statistics or you're using the eyeball test, he's one of the best center fielders in baseball right now. I mean, he's batting .301 with a .795 OPS right now.
Is that good?
For the season. Last 30 games, it's been even higher. OPS over .800. I think the average is like .310, something like that. But that's for the season. And, oh, by the way, might be playing a Gold Glove center field. Might be. In the conversation.
That's interesting. I have not gotten to the place where I've really looked around the AL to see, like, you know, who the center fielders are that are showing up. But, well, I mean,
Rodriguez and the usual suspects.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. Right. But, I mean, it's not hard to see a guy who was covering up that center field spot. Mm-hmm. And also, just narrative-wise, you look at the corner outfield spots, and it's either a couple of rookies on the right side, because Chaz hasn't really been getting that much burn. Mm-hmm. And then you got a reformed second baseman out there covering as much ground as his legs will allow him in left field. And he is doing the job of making sure that there's no gap between that. And he's doing it exquisitely on top of the fact that he has been one of the few guys that's actually been using that bat fairly well. So, no, he absolutely deserves a level of credit. And I guess the question for Jake is, how much now, as we reach the quarter portion of the season, right, how much now do you look at this as – a good run of span in the season, or is this kind of a new Jake, a new expectation of Jake that we're reaching?
I don't know what the expectation long term is, but I think he's having one of those years. You know, it happens all the time. Somebody has just a career year. And by the way, his path, you know, to this point in his career is pretty remarkable. I mean, you know, I think he got drafted like in 2016, 2017, and spent 5 years in the minor leagues before he really got up here.
13th round out of Nebraska Lincoln.
Yeah. And then it wasn't really until, I guess, 2021 he came up but got injured.
Correct.
And then, so, like, it's an incredible story. And maybe now that he's got all that behind him, you know, climbing the ranks, dealing with an injury, finding his place in center field, maybe this is him. Maybe this is what we can expect, because he's finally settled in as an everyday center fielder and a big-time contributor. Or is someone else, just for this season, does someone else come to mind, like they've really saved their bacon? And the reason I put it like that is because Yordan is still whatever. We'll get to that.
Correct, yeah.
We'll get to that. Altuve, you know, I don't know if he's slowing down. You know, heaven forbid we say that, but he's still not picking up things.
At least he's not showing up at the level that we had previously set an expectation for with Jose Altuve.
Well, you watched last night's game, I'm sure, and we were texting during the game.
You don't know that.
Some of the swings.
Some
of the swings were so un-Altuve-like. Like, way high and inside, and he's swinging, and, you know, down and away, and he's swinging. Like, he just hasn't dialed anything in, you know, in the last, going on a month now? So he's struggled.
How did you take in the idea that instead of hitting second, right? Like, well, obviously him moving to second in the lineup, we can attribute to he wants to make sure that he can get in from the outfield and get himself squared away in order to step into the batter's box. You can't say that about him batting third.
Right.
Right. How did you take that in? Because I saw that and I was like, ooh, this is a little change now, ain't it?
I think it's the first time he's done it in quite a long time. I forget the exact number of years. But to bat third, what it's doing is it's trying to wake up his bat, because they put him behind Paredes.
Yes.
They're trying to get him some better pitches. That's a sign of a team scrambling to get their best player going again. And he's already moved from first to second. Now he's second to third. Now third, usually a lot of people will tell you, is where you put your best hitter.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
But some of these metrics are different now, especially when Peña and Paredes are one and two. You know, they're not going to get as many pitches as the guy in the three hole. So maybe, you know, it's clearly they're trying to wake him up a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, I think you still want to put your best hitter in the three hole if you possibly can. That's where Yordan sits when he is healthy and going. I mean, just when he's healthy, because even when he wasn't going to start the season, he would still find himself parked very nicely there. But yeah, like that was an interesting oddity. But you were saying, like, talking about some of these guys that have saved the bacon, and I did want to salute the texter from the 832 who did say that yesterday when we were talking about what you would like to see from this team in order to kind of get a feel for if they're going to be legitimate, they did bring up production from the bottom of the lineup, and right on time you did get that in order to get another victory. By the way, the first back-to-back road victories this season from this Astros team as they start to notch some of those things, some of those accolades that you generally just need in order to be a good team in a season. But talking about saving bacon, it feels hard to miss this or to skip this. So I'm going to hit this, and we can spend however long time you want to on it. Hunter Brown clearly is one of those guys in a way that it seems reasonable, but I don't know if it's something that you could have absolutely demanded or expected per se,
right, right.
In the ways that he has been incredible. Jeremy Peña is absolutely yeah. that.
Is he the guy?
Like he is 100% up here.
I think
when
you could argue
it
because of what he's transformed the top of the lineup. You know,
100%.
Yeah,
like having a guy that now you put him up there and he steps up to the bat and I feel comfortable that you're going to get a good outcome from him.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some guys that you can name that were supposed to be that on a paper coming into the season, and there's definitely some guys that mm-hmm. in that same subcategory have not been that. Right?
Yeah.
You could talk about Christian Walker. Obviously, we've mentioned Yordan. Even Jose in some instances because of his tendency to be aggressive
mm-hmm.
and in that way, like some of those guys will show up and you go, I don't know. Like Jeremy Peña has become through a quarter of a season very much a guy that you see him up to bat and you're like, all right, if there's runners in scoring position,
yeah.
I feel comfortable about the idea of them coming in. I feel comfortable about him getting on base and maybe taking some extras, which is another thing about Jake Meyers. Once he gets on base,
mm-hmm.
is stealing bases as well. Like he is like the change that we've seen in him. I know that T Mill put up a poll on his Twitter account about whose hot start has been most impressive or have you enjoyed rather more. And Hunter Brown obviously getting a mm-hmm. huge amount of it. Jeremy Peña is my vote just because of that, you know, change in what he is or what we can expect from him, because that was the hope, is that he becomes this guy and he is fully embodied that now.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. But I also feel in terms of a player like, boy, he's really saved their bacon. You kind of sort of, as you alluded to, had a hunch that Hunter Brown could do this and become this. You kind of sort of had a hunch that Jeremy Peña could do this. You didn't have a clue that Jake Meyers was going to do
this. Fair enough.
So that's where I would you know, put that. I think when you look at the bullpen, you know, you knew what Josh Hader could be. You kind of knew what Brian Abreu could be. I think the winner last night is maybe a save the bacon kind of guy, at least representative of the middle relievers that have really stepped up, like Brian King. You know, I think he's in that conversation as well.
All right, so this is a fair text that comes in, and I wonder, okay, we've talked about Jake Meyers and the start that he's had and the way that he's played pretty well, and I asked you, how much do you take of this as a change in Jake Meyers? And from the 954, look at Jake Meyers' May last year compared to the rest of the year, and I take you to May of 2024. His splits are as follows.
Mm-hmm.
He averaged 329 with an OPS of 924, 14 RBI. What a fig. And a 518 slug.
Mm.
Those are all incredible numbers.
Yeah.
You want to get the rest of the entirety of his season?
Yeah. What was it
after that? His season totals. He was a 219 with a 646 OPS.
So what are you saying?
It's quite possible that this is just Jake and May, where yeah. this is him carrying. But the thing that ultimately I still want to give credit for is you needed it.
Yeah,
you have needed it to a great degree. But yes, it is possible that this is just a hot stretch for him. But I appreciate the hot stretch when you need it, especially because it has helped you remain in this place where you are just barely out of the AL West lead, what, 2.5 games?
Because
mm-hmm. Seattle also got a victory last night. But, you know, you're not too far back. You're staying above 500 and you're playing decent baseball, and he's been one of the guys that's helped you. Is there anybody else that you want to salute as saving the Astros bacon to this point?
Yeah, look, I mentioned you kind of sort of expected this from Hader and Abreu, but Abreu,
Hader, come on, bro.
No, you knew what he could do.
No, that's what I'm saying. We got to I got to stop and give Hader his credit. 12
yeah.
saves
yeah.
is not, I mean, and he has not blown a save to this point.
And he's only given you a couple of heart palpitations, and that was early on. So what I'm saying is, like, you know, he's been exactly what you hope for. And same thing with Brian Abreu. You know, he had more than an inning of work yesterday. You know, that was big time for him to come in and do that. So I feel like in the absence of Altuve and Christian Walker, you know, we haven't mentioned him, and Yordan being hurt, these guys have really been able to sort of stem the tide and actually step up their game.
So we come to the portion of the program, as you mentioned, Yordan being hurt. We got a little bit of an update on Yordan that he is, he's been swinging off of the tee in the cages, but he just has not felt right
mm-hmm.
just yet. He doesn't feel fully healed. And you just kind of taking it day by day is basically what the update is. Encouraging, discouraging, how'd you feel?
Oh,
and the 832
no.
just said, I jinxed Hader. So if that's the case, I will take my comeuppance. I just don't believe myself to have that level of power.
No, you don't. okay, just forget the associating the name with it. Just player X. Player X was on the IL. He didn't come off the IL, and it's now going on a week after.
Astros player X, mind you.
Astros player X.
Yeah,
yeah, uh-huh. That's important.
Yeah.
And they're hitting off a tee and still feeling pain. Just those two things right there. How can you be encouraged?
How could you feel good about that?
That's it. Yeah. He's just hitting off a tee in the batting cages, and he's still feeling pain. It's going to be a little bit, man. It's going to be a little bit with Yordan. And I do think, as we speculated early on in the season, he's probably had this all year long, and that's been a big factor.
Well, and he says that, right? He said that, this is something that he's been dealing with. Like, he was fighting through it. And so that probably can speak to the way that it was a slow start for him all the way around,
right.
We speculated. But, yeah, they're going to have to keep doing this, it seems like, for a period of time.
At least
without
another week, right?
I mean, if he's still talking about some level of inflammation here.
Inflammation, pain, and hitting off a tee?
Right. He said that, quote, he's played with his hand hurting for a while, but it reached a point where he had to stop because his hand started getting inflamed. He said he's unsure of the timeline to return. Quote, it could be tomorrow, it could be next day, but we're going to keep working on it for 100%. I like, at this point, and I think you said this yesterday, and I tend to agree, just let him get to where he feels right.
Yes.
Just let him get to feeling right. And that is the place where you are. But thankfully, and I will ask you this, because I mentioned this yesterday, about the idea of the ball maybe flying a little bit more at Steinbrenner Field. Did you get a sense of that watching the game? Because it did feel like a lot of loud outs to almost Warner Track, which I guess they do a lot.
Yeah.
But you had a couple of those that felt like they carried a little bit more.
Yeah, and wasn't Caratini's home run? Also, just looked like a pop fly.
It did look like it just barely got out there.
The Astros actually benefited from it.
Agreed.
There was it the second inning when they put three up? There was an easy out in foul territory in most major league ballparks that went into the stands. And if it weren't for that, the rally might not have happened like it did. So they actually benefited from the small foul territory and the short right field.
We'll see if they benefit tonight. It is a different look for the Astros today, or at least on the mound, right? You get another guy who's making, not his debut, but I guess who's coming up. It's Brandon Walter who comes up to start for them. This is something that we'll have to circle back around to, but they've another person or another group of people that have saved the bacon is just the various guys who have to step in. We mentioned Colton Gordon who went 5 1/3. We mentioned also Ryan Gusto. Now Walter is having to take his turn in trying to help save the Astros bacon. They're 25-22, looking to win yet another series if they get a W today versus the Rays. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, don't put that evil on him, Ricky Bobby. Somebody said that they're afraid it's a hamate fracture. Don't do that. Don't do that. I don't want to see that, but you are.
Oh, man, I hadn't thought
that. That is a fair point to consider. We'll circle back around to that later. Coming up next, D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio spoke at the season ticket holders kind of meeting.
State of the Texans
meeting that happened. There's a few things that leaked out, including, did D'Amico Ryans go full Caserio last night when talking about this Texans player? We'll tell you what we mean next.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah, happy Tuesday to you in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. D'Amico Ryans yesterday, along with Nick Caserio, actually Han and Cal McNair also. They were on a stage at NRG Stadium addressing.
It looked like it was packed too.
It was a lot of season ticket holders in the building for the State of the Texans address. It's an event that's specifically designed for season ticket holders, obviously to get them ready for the season. And I mean, ticket holders have a lot of reason to be excited for this one. A lot of intrigue in the upcoming campaign for the Texans, as obviously went to the playoffs again, got another playoff victory, but still a lot of things to see when it comes to growth, development, where this team goes. And so people had questions, and there was a Q&A session that we got some interesting kind of insights on from this perspective of the D'Amico Ryans, of Nick Caserio, even some things from Callan Hanna. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I think caught your attention here, John, was something that D'Amico Ryans said. And he's kind of talked in a way that felt a little glowing mm-hmm. about a player that you would not necessarily expect.
Yeah, well, let's first go back. And this kind of raised a lot of eyebrows here and all over town. When someone says, someone in power like that says something completely unsolicited and goes way over the top, almost out of character over the top about a player, you kind of go, whoa, well, we got to pay attention to that. Well, this was Nick Caserio right here with Payne and Pendergast.
LD's been working his ass off really since last year. It's unfortunate he kind of had a deal with a couple different foot injuries, one that he was aware of, maybe one that kind of came to fruition when he got here, was new, but he's worked really hard. He's been here essentially every day since the season has ended. So he's got a great attitude, very upbeat, very positive, a lot of energy. You know, he was a player that we thought was going to be competitive with the group last year, played tackle at Michigan, had some snaps inside as well. So kind of fits with the rest of the group. So awesome, awesome human being, just a great kid. So he's had a good attitude. He didn't allow what happened last year to affect his overall work ethic and mindset. So he's been great to have here, and we're anxious to see him on the field.
All right, so that's when we all went, whoa, because he was asked kind of sort of about Blake Fisher.
Yeah, he was asked about who's kind of transformed their body. Blake Fisher was the nominee that Sean threw up there, and he was like, all right, Sean, that's cool. But let me tell you about my boy, LD.
Yeah. And so last night, I'm presuming a season ticket holder, could have been someone else, but asked D'Amico Ryans a very similar question about, I think the question was more about, like, you know, who stood out or who could stand out, et cetera.
You see him now, like, Watson, he's in the building, like, one of the first ones in the building. To see the work ethic, you see how he's picking up on the offense, you see how he's communicating, and that's a guy that's really stood out to me. Like, not knowing him before we signed him here this offseason, he stood out just basically throughout his work ethic.
So if you didn't get all that audio, I know there was an echo in the room, etc. He was talking about Justin Watson, wide receiver they signed out of Kansas City.
Correct.
And we haven't really even mentioned Justin Watson very much other than when they brought him in.
Correct. I mean, right. Yeah. Justin Watson, obviously, who is, I mean, you mentioned played at Kansas City, drafted in 2018 out of Penn. He's played for a couple of teams, including the Bucks, and most recently, as you mentioned, the Chiefs. And, I mean, he's been on Super Bowl teams. He's been solid. I mean, I would not necessarily say that I would write home about him, but it's not like he's a bad wide receiver, but I think it is fair to say that we have looked at Justin Watson as a guy that when you first signed him, as, okay, that paper's over. You could play him mm-hmm. in that, your starting lineup of wide receivers alongside Nico Collins and Christian Kirk. But as soon as you brought in a lot of wide receivers, not just a wide receiver that you feel like could step that, I think we started looking at him as potentially disposable in that, what was that group of eight that we kind of set mm-hmm. of wide receivers that you were going to probably need to trim down to six between your two that mm-hmm. Collins and Kirk, and then your two young guys that you just brought in, Higgins and Noel. You have two guys that are kind of in question marks in some ways from last year, if you're talking about Xavier Hutchinson and John Metchie. And then you have the two kind of wide receivers that you brought in as veterans, but they are new to your team, Braxton Berrios and Justin Watson. And those two guys feel like the ones that you looked at and you go, eh.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because they were brought in before the draft, and you're thinking, well, they're taking a flyer on these guys. Berrios is clearly a special teams guy as well. Actually, well, Watson is too, but
But not in the same way.
Not in the same way.
You mean kind of return guy when you talk about Berrios.
Yeah, Berrios is much more involved. Is Justin Watson a thing? I mean, he brought him up just by name, on an open-ended question. He brought up Justin Watson. All right, now I want him to be a thing.
I don't think so, right? And obviously, there's value in having a guy who, one, has some experience, mm-hmm. right? And experience with some very good football teams at that. But, I mean, when you also look at, I think he's a solid player, but mm-hmm. I know that D'Amico cares about the talent of guys and the types of guys that you have in that room, maybe from that perspective. Because that's basically what he's talking about, like that work ethic,
yeah.
Which again, that's one of the words that falls into that swarm mentality that they have mm-hmm. For them. But I don't know that that alone is something where I put him in for certain with the wide receivers that are going to be there. Obviously, he's going to compete. The question I'll ask you is, if he does, who does that then kind of move out of the possibility? Because it feels like one of the guys that they like a lot, and maybe in a similar manner, and especially a guy that they trusted a good amount, was Xavier Hutchinson.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because you know sometimes it's not what as much what he says as what he doesn't say. And you know, some of the players that are in that mix, you mentioned the four that are pretty much locks, you know, Nico and Christian Kirk and Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel. All right. Didn't mention Mechie or Hutchinson. Mechie and Hutchinson are in those weird positions now where talk about having to compete. They're not only having to compete, they're going to have to play better, you know, from the very beginning. And you don't sign receivers that are, you know, veterans in the NFL if they don't think they have a real opportunity here. You know, those are players that can kind of get about the same money at various places, but they came here and they were recruited here, so to speak. So Watson and Berrios, I think they're very much in the mix, and the clock is ticking on Hutchinson and Mechie.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's possible. I mean, it's possible. Mechie is the one that I think we've all been in that place. Mm-hmm. Hutchinson, again, they've talked glowingly about him. We've seen ways in which they've been willing to utilize his play. But yeah, maybe so. Like also when you talk about creating separation, Watson will do that to some degree. I mean, he had probably his best separation year last season with the Chiefs, even though he did not have a lot of, you know, work to be done. Mm-hmm. It is possible that, you know, maybe they just really like what he brings, which obviously you would assume when they sign him. And so, I mean, maybe so. Like, maybe that's a guy that they'll trust to be almost like a Robert Woods, right? Where you step in and you know that he's done this before, that in certain circumstances he has that level of experience that especially you would be lacking when you're bringing in a couple of rookies to probably take up roles in that wide receiving core. So, yeah, no, maybe that is where they are looking. And does that then put more of a, I guess, target in some ways on the backs of Mechie and Hutchinson?
Yeah, I think. Well, if you don't want to say target, you can easily say, I mean, they're playing for a job. You know, I think that's more than fair. They're playing for if Watson and Berrios, especially Watson, comes in and gets that kind of review from the head coach, and you know, an event like that, I think it says a lot about them. And maybe puts more pressure on the other guys to they have to perform. They have to play better.
Okay, so in your mind, you're looking at this. And, of course, there's a possibility that it could be seven with one of these guys kind of existing as your modern Steven Sims, who is just kind of return man. Mm-hmm. But Collins, Kirk, clearly. Higgins, Noel, clearly. Right? Am I wrong in saying clearly on all those guys? All right, four. Between the remainder, give me your next two or three guys.
Without having seen them, just knowing what we know and having brought them in, I would say Watson has an edge right now. Berrios has an edge because of the special teams. So that kind of narrows down the people on the bubble, so to speak. At least going into camp.
You say the special teams edge. Okay, going into camp.
At least going into camp.
I do wonder how much, because Noel, and one of the things that Nick Caseri was talking as well, he mentioned, he was asked about kind of the decision to draft two wide receivers, both in the same, or in back-to-back rounds. Obviously, both from the same school. And one of the things he talked about was they liked Noel, and it's very evident, like the return ability that he has as well. Obviously, ability to play on the inside part of the field, all of that. But does Noel's ability to return then maybe make Berrios a little more expendable as well?
Possibly. But I think Berrios has got a few more pelts on the wall.
Certainly.
You know, and so that's going to give him that competition. And who's to say, you know, you're not going to have kickoff and punt returners. You're not going to have, you know, two guys in special teams with that kind of speed playing as well. I think it clearly is a statement to Hutchinson and Mechie.
Yeah, and the point that is made on the text line and that we were kind of talking about to some degree is Watson's ability to get open, because this was an offense that did not get guys open nearly as much as you would have imagined last year. And yes, a good amount of that falls on Bobby Slowick. But having wide receivers that have a knowledge of how to do that inherently will also, you know, be it's not a bad thing, and it'll be accentuated by good play calling. And so that's gonna be a common kind of thought process, a common discussion point, which is how much of the advancement of this offense year over year is just going to be the schematics and the mentality of the game plan versus having your players kind of be different, better in some of those spaces. And Watson could represent one of those things as well.
Yeah.
All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into our question of the day. As San Antonio, as a city, is considering naming an airport after Greg Popovich, 713-572-4610. What would you want named after you? Let's discuss that next. All right. Question of the day here in the loop on Sports Radio 610, inspired by the city of San Antonio, apparently wanting to put Greg Popovich's name on the airport. What would you want to be named after you? 713-572-4610. The more original, the better. Because
brace yourself, because it's gonna.
Oh, you're about to get real.
About to get original on the
original with this. Yeah, no, please do. I'm very intrigued to see as what you would like to be named after you. Don't be shy. If you want a species of slug or something after the name, that go ahead and let it fly. 713-572-4610. Because apparently San Antonio is considering the possibility of naming their airport, which is currently San Antonio International, after Greg Popovich, talking about, you know, his humanitarian efforts and his willingness to continually speak out on behalf of social justice issues, and of course his legendary basketball prowess. City Council there in San Antonio are thinking about dedicating the San Antonio International Airport in honor of Greg Popovich, which is one of those things that you don't see very frequently. We were talking about it with Seth and Sean this morning, and Seth started doing kind of the legwork on, are there airports named after kind of sports figures? And I think the closest that he found, or like just kind of
celebrity types.
Yeah, types, people in, you know, popular culture, as opposed to what it seems like they're typically named after, which is politicians or people that are
like historical figures.
Yeah, historically important.
Historical
to the area.
Figures in the city or something like that, that we have no idea who what they really did.
Yeah. Outside of Davy Crockett, I mean, you could argue that in the recent times, Greg Popovich did as much for the San Antonio economy as anyone, you know, because of the championships and the, you know, all the tourism, and obviously it's a big tourist city anyway, and everything else. So that news development, I really don't have a problem with. I think it's fine. It's solid, and he's done a lot for the city. But I started thinking about things, not necessarily for myself, that I would want to be named, have something named after, but for, like, you guys. Like, Reggie needs an advanced stat. Reggie, there needs to be a BS LMNOQ that is the Reggie stat.
Yeah,
it'd be LMNOP.
You should put something together.
Yeah. What is the BS LMNOP? That's Reggie's stat.
I don't like that. I don't like the acronym that you
right?
put together.
Doesn't he need a stat named after him?
Yeah.
Like, who's the dude we interviewed at Radio Row?
Aaron Schatz.
Yeah.
It's not named after him, though.
But he's affiliated. He's known.
He is affiliated.
We need the RAS, Reggie Advanced Stat.
No, it's the BS LMNOP.
No, we're not. You are fully denied from naming rights. You are very bad at naming things, and we've already determined this. So you don't get to name stuff.
What would Figgy's be named after?
I feel like Figgy needs a wing flavor. Like, I feel like.
Oh, yes.
That's very obvious. Yeah,
I feel like that one's the easy one. If you go, what were you thinking, though? Because it seems like you had one on your mind.
I was thinking like this producer studio, like the Figgy producer studio, something like that.
Yeah. Well, I think Tyler would have his feelings hurt.
Ask him who trained him.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Look at you.
Ask Tyler who trained him.
Facts.
All right, this ain't even like no like being cocky type thing, man.
The Figgy studio. Like,
every time we talk about this type of stuff, you like, man, I appreciate you, man. Just kind of watching what you do. Help me out.
Yeah, they should name a taqueria after Lopez. Which, there's a couple of levels to that. Number one, I wouldn't mind it. Number two, that's kind of profiling.
Which you don't like. I wonder why.
Yeah. Somebody mentioned, because we were also talking about the idea of if Houston were to do something similar, which obviously both Houston's airports are named after figures historically, obviously Hobby and Bush. But if for some reason they were to strip one of those names and put an athlete up there, which mm-hmm. just feels like something they wouldn't do, who would they go for? And somebody said, Jose Altuve. It's the smallest runway in America, but it's the best.
That would be Hobby. Would that be Hobby?
I feel like it'd have to be, like, it'd have to be Hobby, right? Yeah. You don't think they're taking a president name off of one of these airports right now, do you?
Yeah. Now, this one is just mean. Figgy's short ribs. Although that may be
Reggie's.
Good
for Reggie, yeah.
That may be Reggie.
I was thinking that.
I actually like short ribs well enough where it's like I wouldn't be too mad about that one. From the 281, as a Houston firefighter, a fire station. Okay.
Well, that's a good one.
Okay. Although, do fire stations get named after people that are still living? Like, I hate to be morbid here, right? But it feels mm-hmm. like we typically get to name stuff after people once they done gone. You know what I mean? Which is one of the reasons why the Popovich naming after airport thing made me feel a little uncomfortable.
Yeah. Like, I think the other reason too, I don't know if this is a real reason, but how stuff just be happening in real life.
Yeah.
So now, like, if something crazy happened, now you gotta change the name because it seemed a little weird.
Oh yeah.
Oh, like
the Deshaun Watson, whatever.
Yeah,
we got to change that name.
Bill Cosby Library or something like that.
Well,
you just like, we got to change that name now.
Yeah,
let's make it to somebody who's already dead. And no allegations coming out.
Seth got me thinking a little bit. I had originally said when we were doing Crosstalk, a boat named after me, but he said river. I would love a bay. Like a fishing bay. Yeah. Like Lopez Bay has a good ring to it.
Mm.
It really does.
I wouldn't mind a strip club named after me.
the whole strip club. I don't know that I'm going to a Figgy's.
Yeah,
it'd just be Figgy's at that point.
Yeah,
like
Figgy's,
a Rick's.
Figgy's has a good ring to it. Figgy's, where all your dreams come true.
Yeah. Or name it Figgy's mixtape.
I feel like the easy is just like let me get one of the food items at the Booty Club in that instance. I'd much rather that.
I can see that. The Figgy special.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, although does
two,
that
two women.
Yeah. Wow. I was like, does that imply that you were one of the
four legs?
Are we talking drumsticks or anyways?
Sure.
Sure.
From the 713, a memorial base. When they pass.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. And then someone else said, speaking of the Greg Popovich, and this is what I was interested in, seeing if people agree with just the idea. They said the city has the Alamo. It's going to name an arena after a basketball. Not an arena. An airport about around a basketball coach. Can't find anyone more deserving. And it feels like you probably could.
I feel like San Antonio got a lot of history, and that's not
the
taken
Alamo.
Away.
I mean, the Alamo is everything.
I'm not taking away from Greg Popovich, but I feel like they got a lot more history in there where you'd be like, let's give a soldier who was from San Antonio
It's a huge military area, too.
Huge military.
The Air Force Base out there and everything. Yeah.
Well, they are named after military figures. You know, Lackland Air Force Base, Kelly Air Force Base.
And see, I will understand if
or Sam Houston.
See, and I would understand if it was like the like some type of recreation center or something like that. But an airport, kind of a big deal, ain't it?
I think I don't mind it. That dude has brought that city millions.
I agree.
Millions. And really, you know, five championships.
Yeah, I agree. What about what if in the same breath, I guess, Phil Jackson in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see them naming like their airport after Phil Jackson?
Nah, but would you see them eventually getting to the Michael Jordan airport?
Yes.
Or like the Michael Jordan terminal at O'Hare or something like that.
Yeah, something along those lines.
Actually, I think I feel better with the terminal than the whole airport. And I don't know what that says about me. Like
Popovich
the idea.
Terminal.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Somebody said, not reading that one. Someone said they would want an adult toy named after themselves.
Well. I don't know if that's good or bad.
I don't either. I don't know how to judge that. So they said, when I become president, I'm changing to the Gulf of Roland. All right, just putting your name on that. Let's see. Some other ones that came in. Someone said they would love to have a tunnel or causeway named after them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I like that. I like that. Like some a little bit of infrastructure out there. Yeah. I think, Figgy, you made a great point. I think I would want a rec center named after me.
Rec
center would be
good. That's always
something
cool,
in the community, you know?
Even like back at home when I used to live in Cleveland, it was a rec center name. I think it was Earl B. Turner.
Yeah.
And we actually knew who Earl B. Turner was.
That's cool.
And yeah, it's like, that, and then really newer cool. daughter, yeah. it's like, oh, that's your dad? And the recreation center is named after your dad?
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool.
I feel like something that's a little bit smaller and community-based also feels a lot less weird when you're still in the land of the living, mm-hmm. right? Like just a stadium, a high school football stadium might be it.
There is Kubiak Field.
That might be the one.
That's actually a lot common.
Kubiak right Field right there off of Shepherd at St. Pius, I believe. Yeah. Yeah. There's some pretty good and figgy flavored chips.
I do appreciate the 346 getting me on board with being named after the Booty Club here. If it's specifically called Figgy Shake Joint,
I like that.
I would go into a Figgy Shake Joint.
Yeah, I'm sure some people would probably be like, "Hey, where the milkshakes at?" I thought it was a milkshake joint.
How about this one? This is great from the A32. How about getting a dog breed named after you, like Jack Russell, the Jack Russell Terrier?
That would be cool.
That's way cool.
Another one that's cool. I like Arnold Palmer. Mm-hmm. It's just the lemonade, the iced tea. It's known as
a non-alcoholic beverage.
Yes.
That's a good call.
Like an actual fountain drink.
That's a good call.
I love going to places. Like, let me get an Arnold Palmer.
Yeah,
that's right. And finally, I think this also might be a winner from the 281. I'd like the holiday day after the Super Bowl named after me. Well, if you can manage to make it happen, I think you would deserve that. Because it feels like our society has fought against this way too far.
I wouldn't mind having a car named after me. That way rappers be like, I'm in that Figgy Field, drive it.
Ocho says, I'm trying to think of a way to name Grammar after Lopez.
Don't give him that. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports.
Pull up in that Figgy Field.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into Around the NFL and welcome in B. Scott into the show. We'll do it next.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.